السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers in Islam, and also our sisters who listen over receivers, and today we believe also the channel Islam listeners are listening in. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal and ihsan that He has blessed us again with another Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. It is a very Mubarak day, and if we have to discuss the virtues of the day of Jumu'ah, then only we understand that it is a day of Eid for us. Nevertheless, this nikah which has taken place, as I have stated many a times, that when there is a nikah, then generally we switch over to the topic of nikah. We were discussing certain other issues a fortnight ago, but today we will discuss, inshallah, something on this Mubarak institution of nikah, which unfortunately we have now reduced to the level of a customary practice. Just as we have reduced all other things to the level of customary practice and nothing more than that, in the same way we have also reduced nikah to the level of a customary practice. Our namaz, our roza, our zakat, our hajj, we can see that when it comes, then we try to accomplish it, we try to undertake it, but in the form of a ritual. We don't look at the virtues, we do not look at the real spirit behind it. It is more or less something that we have to do, so therefore we must do. Namaz we make 5 times a day, but how many of us can really say that when we put our head in sajda, then we really believe that it is the mi'raj of the believers? How many of us can really say that it was the mi'raj that we received when we went into sajda? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken above the 7 heavens and brought to the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That was his mi'raj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And our mi'raj is when we are in sajda. When our foreheads are in sajda, that's our mi'raj. But do we really get that mi'raj, or when our heads go down in sajda, we want to pick it up speedily, because we don't seem to get that kind of enjoyment. Yet many a times I have recited this beautiful couplet of Shah Ki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum: Apne Malik se ut kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر، دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر. دل کو نور تقویٰ سے تو شاد کر، نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر. Make your Allah happy. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر. Get up and seek from your Rabb, from your sustainer. He is the sustainer. Everything is in His control. If we are going to make Him happy and pleased, then He will put sukoon in our lives. In whatever condition we may be, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to give us sukoon, tranquility, peace, which is a lost treasure of the Muslim today. The Muslim has lost this great treasure of sukoon in the heart. It's not that difficulties did not come upon Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very severe trials. Nobody was tested as much as Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Look at the kinds of trials. But look at the tranquility, the peace, the sukoon that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam enjoyed. And look at the sabr and the patience that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with. And look at the tawakkul and yaqeen that he had on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in spite of all those difficulties. So there is a lesson in there that whether it is the conditions of prosperity or conditions of adversity, conditions of good health or conditions of ill health, conditions of wealth or conditions of poverty, whatever the condition may be, but a Muslim is one who blooms under all conditions. Even if it is conditions of tests and trials, this Muslim, he blooms like a flower in the midst of thorns. Sometimes we see the flower all round, there's nothing but thorns, but we find the flower truly blooming, beautifully blooming. So like that, the Muslim's heart is supposed to be that flower that blooms even in the midst of thorns. But when can it bloom is when he has committed himself, when he has submitted himself to the will and the desire of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, all these ibadat that we do, there is a lesson of submission in there. Whether it is namaz, whether it is roza, whether it is zakat, whether it is hajj, in everything there is lessons of submission. Look at hajj itself, everybody is now talking about hajj, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala accept the hajj of all those who are going, make it maqbool, mabroor, and accept the tawaf, ziyarat, ibadat. But if you have to look at the rituals of hajj, as we call it, or the procedure of hajj and everything else that's undertaken, most of it does not even appeal to our senses if we have to really look at it in inverted commas. It is, but it is ibadat because it is a hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, therefore we undertake it. Now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam threw stones and pebbles at the jamarat. Now he threw it because he saw shaitan and therefore he threw those pebbles. But it's not that shaitan is now there, therefore some people they take out their shoes and they want to hit the jamarat, some people want to throw rocks. And if it was only allowed, then they'll take guns and shoot the jamarat too. Whereas the real shooting should have been of the nafs and shaitan that is in our hearts. So although we call it symbolical and we say that we are also doing an action which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did, but we know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw shaitan at that time and therefore he threw those pebbles at the three different places. But we are undertaking it because it's a hukam of Allah Ta'ala, it's a hukam of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That's all. What else are we undertaking it for? Otherwise, what is the real need now to do the same thing that he did? To take seven pebbles and throw? Are we little children? But it is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore it's got great virtue. We are fulfilling the hukam. Mahmud and Ayaz, we all know that one was a king and the other was a slave. However, King Mahmud had great love for Ayaz. And people used to wonder, why is it that he likes this slave so much? So on one occasion, to prove it, that this Ayaz, although he's just a servant and a slave, but he is so committed and he is so dedicated that whatever I order, he does. So on one occasion, he took one beautiful pearl or a diamond pearl, and then he asked the courtiers there, all those that were in the court there, he said, now smash this diamond. So they all hesitated. They said, this kind of a pearl, this kind of a diamond, whatever it was, this precious stone, you can't find it easily. So how can we smash it? So all of them refused to smash it. Then he ordered Ayaz, he said, smash this pearl. Ayaz took a stone and smashed it. He said, why did you do a stupid thing like this, smashing this expensive pearl? First he ordered him, now he's asking him, why did you do a stupid thing like this? He said, I made a mistake. Now they look at it again, adab, that he didn't say, because you said. He said, because I made a mistake. He says, no, tell the truth. Why did you do it? He said, the truth is this, that you are the king and you are ordering that I must smash it. Why must I hesitate and make all kinds of excuses? So he said, then what about the expensive pearl or the stone that got smashed now? He says, that is in its place, but I could not break the law of the king. You are the one who is sustaining me. You are the one who is giving me accommodation. And you are putting me up in your palace here. So how can I go against your hukam? Now if that slave could think like that, then what about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam? So when we are doing that, we're doing it on the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Now you may say, then how is this all linked up with what we are supposed to be discussing, and that is nikah. So nikah is exactly the same thing. It is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala and the hukam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nikah is something that has been ordered by Allah Ta'ala, and it's such a beautiful institution that we have reduced it to the level, as I said, of a customary practice, whereas it is an ibadat. Just as our namaz is ibadat, zikr is ibadat, tilawat is ibadat, fasting and hajj is ibadat, in the same way this nikah is also a great ibadat. And the great difference between this ibadat and all the other ibadat is this. Shah Yaqub Mujaddidi Rahmatullah Alayhi Hazrat Mullah Abul Hasan Ali Ratmi Rahmatullah Alayhi quotes him. And he says that he said the same thing. He said that there are two ibadat which we don't even consider as ibadat anymore. One is nikah and the other is eating. Our eating and drinking, which person now considers it as an ibadat? We just say it's breakfast time, lunch time, supper time, finish, and we must eat. Or the body needs nourishment, therefore we must eat. So our mind doesn't even go into that direction that this eating and drinking is also an ibadat. Our seeking of livelihood is also an ibadat. So in our namaz we find out what is the masail of namaz. Each and everyone around the globe now will make the namaz in the direction of the Qibla. Everyone will make the namaz in the direction of the Qibla. And if anybody is turned away from the Qibla, then little children will also say that what's this, you making namaz in that direction? Does your mother-in-law live in that direction? Or your future wife is in that direction, that you turning that side? Or is the football ground that side which you love so much? So everybody will face in the direction of the Qibla. Why? Because it is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore nobody will dare to turn in the other direction. Why? Because we consider it as an ibadat. Then we'll ask about the masail of namaz. The qiraat in namaz, the ruku in namaz, the sajda in namaz, we ask masail. What are the factors that will break the namaz? In the same way about roza and about zakat and about hajj, there are so many different masail which we find out. Those that are going for hajj, they had seminars, they had talks, they had programs, lectures. Why? Because the hajj must be made correctly. But how many of us really find out what are the masail of nikah? It's only after the person suddenly fires away three bullets of talaq, three talaqs one time, then now he looks for a maulana, that how can we make the three into one? Whereas we should be finding out beforehand what are the masail of namaz, roza, zakat, nikah, talaq, all the masail the person must find out. So this is an ibadat which is an ongoing ibadat. The other ibadat like namaz, you commence Allahu Akbar, and when you make Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the namaz has ended. Now you can eat, drink, do anything you want. In the same way zakat, there is a time for zakat. When the zakat is due, the person takes the money, gives it to some poor, some needy person, his zakat is paid and discharged, and the ibadat is over. If you have to take hajj, now people are going, then they will put on the ihram, and that ihram of hajj which they have put on, after they have finished the last rite of that hajj, the last obligation and duty or rukun of that hajj, then that's the end of the hajj. Then they will return and we say it's a haji sahab. Or even they will say now his hajj is over. But with regards to this nikah, it is an ongoing thing. From the time that the person has entered into this institution of nikah, he has committed himself to this marriage. Now it is ibadat from now until he has left this world. Unless of course the person divorces his wife, then that is a different story. But here we are talking about a happily married couple, or a Muslim couple, or a person with Iman and Islam in his heart. So then they will try to fulfill the rights. The husband will go out of his way to fulfill the rights of the wife. And the wife will go out of her way to fulfill the rights of the husband. That again has to be learnt, what are the rights. But if they are fulfilling the rights, then this is an ibadah. And this ibadah does not end. The person is going to work, he is still married. So his ibadat is carrying on. The person is eating and drinking, but his ibadat is still carrying on. The person is reading, is making zikr, or is traveling out, or is going for hajj, is going for umrah, is making namaz, is keeping fast, is keeping zakat. So the fast is in there too, the zakat is in there too, the hajj and umrah is in there too, but he's still making the ibadat of nikah. He is still in the ibadat of nikah together with all these other ibadat in his life. Now you never find another ibadat of that kind where the person is making namaz but at the same time he is making the hajj and umrah non-stop and it's carrying on and on and on. So this is the ibadat. And then again, if the person dies on iman and his wife also dies on iman, then this nikah continues in Jannat also. هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. Read Surah Yasin and see what Allah Ta'ala says. Read so many other ayats of the Quran Sharif where Allah Ta'ala talks about the husband and wife being in Jannat again. So this is an ibadat of that kind, which as I said, we have reduced it to the level of just a customary practice. That it is now just the nikah, and in many places the nikah also doesn't take place. There are so many people that are living without nikah. Now everyone else may say that they are living as couples. So the non-Muslim world, there's nothing wrong with that. If they live in an unmarried state, sometimes they even have children long before the engagement has taken place. As I always say, there are sometimes 2-3 children that are born. Then they say that there is great excitement now that the engagement of film actor so-and-so has been announced now to so-and-so. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a pakiza and beautiful and clean and pure life Shariat and Islam has given to us. It is unfortunate that we have forsaken these beautiful teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as a result, the whole world is experiencing nothing but chaos, chaos and chaos. The Muslim himself has got nothing to present to the non-Muslim world today. If we are inviting the non-Muslims to our marriages, our weddings, our walimas, what is it that we have to show to them that is different from what they are doing? Do we have anything different to show to them which will attract them into the beautiful teachings of Islam? Look at the teachings of Islam from the time the person is born up to death. In everything there is an attraction because there's a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the way to do everything. Now in nikah, at least around the globe, there are many, many people who are still following the sunnah of nikah. But now we have reduced it to the level of, as I said, a customary practice that some nikah must take place in the masjid or somewhere else. Nikah tuha, qabil tuha, and thereafter it's nothing. Whereas this person's cheerfully talking now with his wife is ibadat. So much so that if he takes a morsel of food and puts it into his wife's mouth, now we think that this is all child's play. And because we don't have that kind of love left after a few years of marriage, then we feel very shy to even do a thing like that. But this is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teaching, that if he takes a morsel of food and puts it in his wife's mouth, even that is sawab. If he fulfills his passion because he wants to save himself from zina, he wants to save himself from adultery, fornication, and that is also ibadat. So the wife is getting the sawab of ibadat. She's getting ibadat sawab all the time being a wife. And the husband is getting ibadat sawab being a husband. Provided they fulfill the rights and both of them have got taqwa in their lives, that both of them are obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What else made this woman halal for the husband? What else? Would it have been permissible if Allah ta'ala had not allowed two total strangers? In these days, of course, 90% are not strangers anymore. You may get a few people that are strangers because there's so much of courting. And I've mentioned this many times, when there's a lot of courting, then finally it ends up in court. Too much of courting, that's what happens. But in any case, if the person is fulfilling the rights of the wife, he's earning for the sake of the wife and children, it is a jihad. Because he is making a jihad, he wants to earn halal, provide halal. Then he is taught how to overlook, how to forgive, how to forget. Again, suddenly that example comes to mind, and I will conclude on that. That where one cricketer, his nikah was taking place here in this masjid. He was playing for Natal, for Transvaal in those days. So he said, must give some nasihat. Many of you have heard this many times, but listen to it again. There is great nasihat in it, because we are all sport crazy now. So I said, what happens in a cricket match? That there are 11 people who are playing on the same side of the team. And each and every one has got just one thing in his head. That this person who is batting, our opposition, We must bowl him out, catch him out, stump him out, shoot him out, kill him, do anything, as long as you get him out. That's all. Get him out. Everybody is out to get him out. And all 11 have got one intention only. So I said, in the same way, as far as the batsman is concerned, he's got only one thing in his head. Try and hit a six. That's hit six, hit fours, do anything, as long as you score runs. So there's two teams playing, one opposition. So we must play on the same side of the team. The husband and wife must play on the same side of the team. But it happens sometimes that the person's best friend, he throws the best ball, and when it goes up in the air, the best friend drops the catch. Now what will happen when the best friend drops the catch? Will you start swearing, shooting, cursing, hitting, fighting? What will you do? He says, my best friend, never mind, he made a mistake. He couldn't have dropped it purposely. So you overlook it. Inside the heart, there is a little bit of resentment, but you overlook it. I said, that is exactly what you should be doing as husband and wife. That accidental mistake, or if she erred, she faltered, she did something that annoyed or displeased. Now there is no place for shouting and screaming and cursing and hitting and beating what is happening in these days. At that time, think it is my best friend. And if she made a mistake, she made a mistake, overlook it. And then just as the batsman is concerned about just hitting for a six, and or just as this opposition is concerned about bowling the person out, throwing him out, stumping him out, like that, I said, both of you, husband and wife, must hit the shaitan and nafs for a six. Bowl shaitan out of our lives. Bowl the nafs and shaitan out of our lives. Stump this shaitan out. Then you see what kind of happy marriage life that will be. So I make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, bless this marriage with success. Give the husband and wife unity and happiness and marriage of bliss. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless both of them to fulfill the rights of each other and unite on the basis of taqwa. Obedience to Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless them with children who will be the coolness of their eyes. But the main thing is that when we are going to please Allah ta'ala in that marriage, then Allah ta'ala will please us. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gul sitam mein. Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jaam. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the trials, the problems of the ummah around the globe and of the entire mankind. Allah ta'ala bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat, wa akhirat da'wana, alhamdulillah.